We got one more guest for this Tuesday edition of Bang the Book Radio. That is professional handicapper Rolf Michaels from WagerTalk.com. Rolf, how's it going today, man?
Going great, Adam. I just want everyone to know, Brian probably pointed this out. I know he likes jabbing at you at weather, but it snowed here the other night. So driving back home, it was started to rain, and then we saw some snowflakes. So what's this world coming to?
Yeah. You know, I get to South Carolina on Thursday night, and then Friday it's sunny and 75. I'm like, oh, this is phenomenal. And then it was in the mid-40s the rest of the time that we were there. All of our friends are pissed off at us, like we brought the cold weather down. Hey, you know what? I'm thinking spring and hell, pitchers and catchers report today for the Indians, so I guess we're not that far away.
Isn't that always a great sign of spring? I'll tell you what. Be it you're a baseball fan or not, when you start hearing pitchers and catchers report, you start seeing spring training games, you know summer's not far around the corner.
I got to say, you know, as somebody who was in Northeast Ohio for a very long time, you know, and obviously we all know that when it rains in Vegas, everyone forgets how to drive. What does it look like out there when it snows?
It didn't stick. I mean, it sticks in the mountains, but it was those raindrops turning into snowflakes and everyone freaks out. I thought it was funny, but you know, the next day it was 55 and sunny and I wore shorts out because it's the sun starting to warm up where if there's no wind the next day, even if it snows like it did, or it gets down to 35 degrees, the next day you're still able to golf. So it's survivable.
I saw you've been playing a lot of golf lately, and you've got those ABA length shorts from, you know, like 70s basketball. I like the look. It looks good on you.
Yeah, well, you know, someone just called me and caught me off guard, but you always have your clubs in your car. So if you get the opportunity to hit some, I enjoy doing it because pretty soon here, January, February, the rates start creeping up. And unless you have some connections, when you get into March or April out here, it's a pretty penny out of your pocket to hit some of the nicer courses.
Well, hopefully you can have a good, conference tournament in March Madness season and be able to, you know, afford to go out there and play some golf when it's 115 degrees. And, you know, I mean, it's a perfect time to golf over the summer out there in Las Vegas. But, all right, speaking of March Madness, conference tournaments, all that stuff, not really that far away. And, you know, a conference that will have a lot to say about how March Madness goes is the ACC. So we're going to dig into that conference here on today's show. And obviously there are some significant top teams here, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, you know, even Louisville as well. I want to focus specifically on the middle of the conference, so we'll do that in a couple of minutes. But, I mean, look, obviously you've got some of the best here in this league.
Oh, no question. I mean, you know, you take the top three teams and they're all worthy of one seeds. And, you know, Virginia Tech's taking that stuff up almost. I mean, Virginia Tech is almost to that elite level where, you know, they're capable of getting the two seed. I don't think they will. I mean, the tournament, the way it plays out, and they're off a couple losses now to Louisville and Clemson. But to me, you know, Duke and Virginia are going to be two of the favorites going in. Duke and Virginia deserve to be favorites. The best talent in the world, no question, is Duke. But, you know, when you get to this tournament time and you're playing multiple teams that play defense, that's the nice thing that Duke has this year is that, you know, you're playing Virginia again, and then you add Virginia Tech in, and then you add Louisville in, and then you add Clemson in, and all of a sudden you're playing elite defenses back to back to back. That really does get you in March Madness shape.
The reason I want to focus on the middle of the conference is that, you know, we've got a lot of new money in the college basketball betting market right now with the NFL over, the Super Bowl gone, and obviously, you know, college football has been gone for over a month now. The perception on teams like Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and maybe even Louisville, especially if Louisville has a good showing here tonight against Duke, just continues to be on the rise, which means, in theory, we should have opportunities to get, you know, some overlaid prices on the middle-tier teams in this conference, right?
Yeah, I mean, no question. You look at the ACC. I mean, this year, ACC home teams are 97-103. I mean, you're under 50%. I will point out that when you're playing conference games in the ACC this year, They're actually 81-119 over under. So you have 40%, 60% of every conference game in the ACC has gone under the total. You know, you have a lot of teams. You look at defenses now, and with Pittsburgh's new head coach and with Louisville's new head coach, you now have nine teams in the top 40 as far as defensive efficiency goes. So to me, there's a lot of over under situations that I like. When there's a team that's a home favorite, those have only been 40.5% over unders again, the same as seasons, but you have many more opportunities to play the totals on that. Home favorites off a straight up loss. A lot of times these teams only have a few home losses in the ACC, but a home favorite in the ACC off a straight up loss is only 21-20 this year. So the teams are so good and the teams are so closely situated from top to bottom that even when you have a situation that you think is a normal positive situation in the ACC, you can't put that into play and say, well, this is going to happen because it normally occurs. You know, one thing I want to bring up, and this is for general handicapping as well as the ACC, but I heard a lot of people talk about last week, Virginia had 7 days off and Duke played a midseason game. Well, this year, the team in February, only in February, that has the 7 days rest, is only 17-27, 39%. So just because you think that team hasn't played midweek and they're rested and they're getting ready for their rival, most of the times it's a rival situation. Again, 17-27. And if you look at the last 3 years, not quite as good, but still 55-62, 44%. So, you know, the Virginia Duke game stands out to me because a couple people, I was on radio shows or talking to people, and you know, they emphasize that like it was the end all. And that's one of those things you and I have talked about and using the killer sports database. And there's so many times when we're handicapping that we hear things that sound legitimate. And because someone says them with an emphasis that all of a sudden it becomes, you know, it goes from hearsay to something you use in your handicapping repertoire. Don't. Find the answer. Go to Killer Sports. Go to any source you can and make sure you're just not using that to give yourself false value.
There are three teams specifically I want to touch on here. Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina State. And I imagine for North Carolina State, what everybody remembers about that team is scoring 24 points against Virginia Tech while ignoring the fact they held Virginia Tech to 47. So it's a pretty decent defensive showcase from NC State. They just didn't score. But Florida State, Clemson, and NC State, you know, very dangerous teams. And in fact, looking at, you know, your Wager Talk College basketball guide that you've got, you know, you've got Florida State number 21 in your power ratings, Clemson 31, NC State 32. These are very capable teams of pulling upsets here later in the conference play portion of the year.
Yeah, looking at it, I probably think I have Clemson a touch too high. I may have gotten enamored with them the last couple games, you know, because they've won four straight and, you know, their losses aren't bad. Of course, there are no bad losses in the ACC. You know, when I say, oh, Clemson's 15-8, losses to Duke, Virginia, Florida State, NC State, you know, they had and a loss at Syracuse on the road. So, you know, it's tough to say there are bad losses in the ACC. Yeah, if you lose to Wake Forest at home or Boston College at home, that's a bad loss. Anything else I can semi-live with. But I look at what Clemson's done, and while you can say they only have five losses and they're not bad losses, you look at their wins, Georgia Tech twice, Wake Forest, and Pittsburgh. Those are four wins at the bottom of the rankings. Their only decent win was the Virginia Tech at home. That was this past Saturday. So, in the ACC, unlike any other conference, it's not the teams you lose to, it's the teams you beat and how bad you beat them by. So when I was relooking at my ratings and, you know, doing these every week, it's tough. You know, you're putting yourself in a position to try to get a number right, and you're looking at teams and how they've done, and you're increasing or decreasing their power rating numbers based on performance. But hindsight now, looking back, you know, getting ready and looking at the ACC, I probably have Clemson a point or two higher. I probably have NC State a little ahead of them and move them down because of the wins. So, again, it's unique because in the ACC, don't look at the losses. Look at the wins they have. And do you have any good wins on the road? And Clemson doesn't have those. So of that trio, you know, that's why I would put them third in the group. You know, you break down Florida State, and Florida State was a team last year that, you know, to me, underachieved. I thought they would do a lot better. You know, Leonard Hamilton got them to 23-12, but then they make the run, beat Missouri, Xavier, the Zags, and lose to Michigan. So that team all of a sudden became the team I thought they would in the tournament this year, excuse me. You know, they're sitting at 18-5, looking at the losses. Do they have any bad losses? Well, losing to Virginia and Duke isn't bad. Their other losses, losing to Villanova. And then Pittsburgh and Boston College, both on the road, both early in the season. Any good wins? Yeah, you go to Syracuse and win, that's good. You beat Clemson, that's all right. You beat Louisville at home in overtime this past week, that's good. So they have yet to face those other elite teams. You know, they're going to come down the stretch and they're going to play, you know, North Carolina, NC State, and Virginia Tech. They only face Virginia once. That's a positive for them, not having to face that multiple team. So I'd have them in the second level of the trio. And although NC State has struggled of late, losing three straight prior to beating Pittsburgh, and they're only 17-7 with six losses, they're a team that I still think is, you know, has the offense and continues to prove on defense. They're a fast-paced team, which isn't like most teams in the conference where they like to race. You have these Virginias, you have now the Pittsburghs, the Georgia Techs, you know, the teams that can play defense. So they're a little bit different where they can press it. We saw them against Virginia Tech, but you got to remember that Virginia Tech loss, people forget that was the game after losing to Virginia at home in overtime. That was clearly a situation of one great performance at home costing him two losses coming off that Virginia game. And then what happened? Then they went to North Carolina and again lost handily. So those three losses are gone. I'm okay with those. Moving forward, you got Syracuse and Duke. Yes, they're tough, but they're going to finish, I think, winning five of their last six games. So even though I have them all bundled together as far as the ratings go, my upside for those three teams, I think, is NC State as my highest.
Well, and like I said, I mean, what we're looking for here is we're kind of looking at teams that are capable of, you know, not just covering numbers in really good spots, but maybe even, you know, pulling some of those outright upsets. Because you look at teams like Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and so on, no matter how good you are, it is very hard to play a sustainable level of basketball over 35 games and to keep getting off the deck and doing it repeatedly in conference play. So at this time of the year, the quote unquote dog days of the season, you know, those are things where you really want to look situationally and also make sure that you've got a team that can put forth the effort that you need.
You know, absolutely. And the thing to remember moving forward is, when we get closer to the tournaments, yes, these teams are starting to play, but these top five teams in the ACC have no pressure at all. Yes, they want to win the ACC title. Yes, I think, you know, Virginia's win against North Carolina, I think, was almost a must win for them last night. You know, it was a situation where they were off that Duke loss. They had lost both games to Duke. And, if they started to not all of a sudden beat any of the upper echelon teams, I think they have that question. So winning that road game at North Carolina, I think, was huge for Virginia. You know, are they a one or a two seed? Does it really matter? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a one or two. You're going to play the same bracket. You're going to face each other when it gets to the end. I mean, that's all just popularity and little prestige being a one seed. But there is absolutely no difference in the schedule-wise playing a one or a two seed. You know, if you fall down to a three or a four, that's a little bit different for those first round games. But, you know, moving forward, I think you're going to see a lot more teams starting to work on the defense like they always do. as they get better. And if they have a situation where they're behind, you know, if you get into live betting and you have one of these better teams that's just having a bad game on the road, you know, those are the teams that don't have to make the big run. Those are the teams that don't mind taking a 10-point loss, even though they were a favorite, because that one game means nothing for them. It's not worth putting in a couple tired guys to try to get a win, where the mid-tier guys certainly have to play that way because you never know what's going to pan out. You know, right now, as far as the ranks go, you know, I have everyone 2, 4, 6, 8. I have 9 from the ACC in, everyone from NC State up. That leaves out Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, and Miami. I think it's pretty clear this year. The ACC normally hasn't been this clear. I don't think anyone is on the bubble unless Clemson or NC State all of a sudden just lose a couple players and lose 5 or 6. So it's so different this year in the ACC because everyone that's in is in, I believe, and everyone that's out is out.
Well, we go from an 8 or 9 bid league in the ACC to a 1 bid league in the Missouri Valley Conference. Loyola Chicago making that Cinderella run last year. Everybody kind of fell in love with that team and Sister Jean and all the things that they were doing there. They haven't really been all that great here in the regular season, although it does look like they're starting to separate themselves from the rest of the Mo Valley.
Yeah, you know, they are now 9-3 and you know, 16-9. And you know, they're still, are they the best team? Well, yeah, I have them, you know, if you look at my rankings, I have them ranked 104 and the next best team 135. So they are clear, you know, they're 16-9. They haven't lost a Missouri Valley home game since last year. I think Indiana State was their last loss. And I don't see them losing at home the rest of the way. They've become a very, very good home team, and their defense is starting to play better. And, you know, you see some high-scoring games, but the Missouri Valley, you know, we saw a 47-24 score in the ACC. If that happened in the Missouri Valley, no one blinks an eye. The leading scoring team in the Missouri Valley is Evansville. Evansville in the NCAA, remember, there are 353 teams. Evansville is 228. So every team in the Missouri Valley, the best team scoring is 228 in the country and down. The worst defense in the league is also Evansville or Indiana State, excuse me. The worst team is 212 and up. So you want to talk about a defensive-minded or an offensively inept-minded, maybe we should say, because the best offense I have is Drake at 123. And Drake, I mean, is a surprise team because Drake is a team that lost their point guard 10 games ago. I thought they would falter, and, you know, all of a sudden they've ripped off 8 of 10. So you have just an incredibly slow-paced league. You know, again, 353 teams in the league. Top tempo team is Evansville. Indiana State and Drake are all between 70 and 100. Indiana State, Missouri State's 214s to the 250s. And then everyone else, 316 or higher. So it's a very, very slow-paced game. It's senior guards not making mistake late in games. It's stealing a couple of those road wins that are going to go down to the wire, and you have a score to go to where other teams don't. And, you know, that's the difference in the league. You have, from top to bottom, a 5-game gap. That's it. Loyola, Chicago, 9-3. Your worst teams in the league, Indiana State and Evansville, 4-8. Put that in perspective. The Ivy Leagues played 5 games, and they have a 4-game difference from top to bottom already after 5 games. These teams have played 12 games, top to bottom, only a 5-game difference. I mean, the Pac-12, Cal is 0-11. Washington, you have a 10-game difference. SEC, a 10-game difference. Pac-12, 9.5-game difference. So there are no easy games. This is a bunch of, you know, if you took the ACC's schedule of their 14 teams, you know, this would be the middle 8 teams in the conference, the middle 10 teams that are so closely so closely bundled, that's an incredible. Top team 104, bottom team 204, 100 gap in the margin for the entire conference. So day in and day out, you are getting battle tested.
Yeah, you look at the full season here, Drake, 18-5 against the number 8-4 in conference play. The worst ATS team here, and this coming from Rolf's Wager Talk College Basketball Guide, the worst team in conference ATS, Northern Iowa, 7-16 against the number. One thing that does stand out here a little bit about this conference this year, Rolf, is that usually we get a very well-defined home-road split. Home teams traditionally very, very good in conference or in Missouri Valley Conference. This year, it's kind of changing a little bit where we're getting some of those road upsets. I think it just kind of speaks to how inconsistent most of these teams are.
Yeah, I mean, there's only the home wins are only 63%. That's straight up. So right now, I mean, that's one of the lowest numbers there are in the conference. Close games, those of 4 points or less or overtime, 18.3. So that goes to show you the road teams are in the game. There are a lot of close games. It does go down to the buzzer. You know, I think you have teams with two bullseyes on your back. You know, to me, the perception is Northern Iowa, you know, Northern Iowa this year is 10-15. And last year they were 16-16. You know, and the year before they were mediocre. But there's still something about that Northern Iowa team for that run that they did, that they were such a dominant team, that people still get excited to play Northern Iowa. And I think that is why their record is so poor, both straight up and ATS. They still have to take everyone's shots. Yes, we know Loyola is getting, you know, Loyola has that monkey on their back too, where they have the bullseye and they are a team that everyone gets fired up. I mean, you know, they got more press in the tournament than every other team has in the last decade combined. So, you know, you certainly are a team that has to take everyone's best shot. And again, you're just taking a beating every time you play. I don't think they're a team. They're nothing compared to last year where they had, you know, multiple starters. And I think all five players averaged in double digits, led by Clayton Custer, who is back. But, you know, Illinois State is that team this year. Illinois State is sitting at 7-5 in the conference. They're tied for second with Drake and Missouri State. Illinois State has all five players. I'm taking this from my reading, so it may not be 100% accurate, but I'm pretty sure it is. All five of their players are averaging double digits. When you have that type of team that can hang in the games, that has multiple options late in the game in this type of conference, they're the type of team that I'll keep my eye on when we get to the tournament and to Arch Madness.
So on a game-by-game basis for a conference like this where, you know, again, you used to have that well-defined home edge. We don't see that anymore. You mentioned, you know, the spread from the top team to the bottom team from a standing standpoint. Do you tend to sort of just, you know, shy away from a conference like this because of the variance level, or do you feel like you have found some spot plays here?
You know, I have found some spots totals wise. The Missouri Valley has not been favorable to me. Like I said, you know, Drake stands out to me after they lost Nick Norton because I played against him a few times. And, you know, Nick Norton was a person who, a point guard who started every game last year, a guard for him who started every game and then started the first 12 games this year up until January 2nd against Evansville when he finally got hurt and was out for the year. And they cost me a few losses playing against them on the road. But because of the totals, because here you have totals with, as I said, you have four teams with tempos that are 315 or higher, from 315 to 353. So the conference is so low scoring. As I said, your top scorer is 228. Your worst scoring defense is 212. That there's a couple times when those teams that aren't slow, Evansville is 70, Indiana State 94, Drake 105, you can get some value actually looking at the overs in those games because they're playing against teams that don't play the slow pace. You're going against, you know, if you look at the last 10 games, well, 7 or 8 of those games were against the slowest paced teams in the country. And now you're getting situations where you're playing normal paced teams against each other, and you can find some value with totals in that spot. And also, when you do have two teams that are so low, I am never afraid to use totals that are 120, 119, because I still don't think Vegas can go low enough. You know, I've talked about this several times. You know, when you have these UCFs and when you have these teams that are so slow, the Virginias, the Virginia Techs, you know, I think Vegas stops at 120. And, you know, in their mind, it's going to take money to move it down below 120. Some of these totals in my mind should be 109, 110s, but Vegas can't put them low enough because their job isn't to put a total where it should be. Their job is to put a total where they're going to get equal money on both sides. Joe Public sees a total of 119 and thinks 60-60. There's no way both teams aren't going to get to 60. Well, yeah, in the Missouri Valley, there's a lot of ways they don't get to 60. You know, usually some of those teams first one to 55 wins. So two senses of value in the Missouri Valley, I think both with totals. When you get those slow teams that play the better defense and have inept offenses, don't be afraid to go too low. And when you get those rare occurrences at those top three or four teams in tempos, you know, you're going to get a very fair total because it's a Missouri Valley game, but you're not playing your normal opponent or style of play.
All right, so we take a look here at Rolf's top situational and technical plays for this week to wrap up this segment on Bang the Book Radio. So I guess we'll start with the situational side of it. Is that game coming from tonight?
Yep, situational is tonight. Technical is tomorrow. And situational is I'm going to be as blunt as I can. Play against West Virginia. I mean, excuse me, play against Western Michigan. West Virginia is not a bad team to play against, too. Western Michigan is a team that's winless in the MAC. They are not very good. And here's a system for you to use. And I just want to remind people, you know, we talked about the Ivy a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I gave you a system in the Ivy that when a home favorite, when a team is a home favorite on Saturday after a loss on Friday, it's been a 68 or 69% play. That won again this past week, so keep an eye on that moving forward in the Ivy. It's been very, very successful. This is not a conference system. It's a league-wide system. When you get to February and you have a team with 6 wins or less and they're a small home dog of 0 to 3.5, they are 9-20 against the spread, 8-22 straight up, and that is Western Michigan. Again, you have a team that's 0-10 in conference play, hasn't won a game since December 30th against UC Riverside, which is one of the worst teams. They only have one win against the top 230 opponent. That was against Oakland back on November 13th. Northern Illinois is coming in off 3 straight losses, but against good teams, Toledo, Ball State, and Eastern Michigan. And you have a situation where Northern Illinois has lost 12 straight in Kalamazoo. And, you know, last week we talked about the WAC and the worst team in all of basketball, Chicago State. Western Michigan in conference play shooting 40.0%. The worst team, Chicago State, shooting 39.2%. So all of that points to Western Michigan. Normally when all of those things would happen, it would be one of my top plays for my clients. I'm on the cusp of using it because Northern Illinois' best player and leading scorer, Eugene German, is suspended tonight. Now, he was also suspended last game, and I don't mind playing against a suspension as much as an injury. When it's an injury, the team says, oh, crap, you know, we were dealt a bad blow. A lot of times when it's a suspension, I think the team says, well, this guy let us down. He screwed up. And, you know, next guy steps up, and the next guy has stepped up. So I'm waffling whether it'll be one of my top plays of the night. But, again, system-wise, I think it's a great thing to look forward to because when you get these bad teams and it's a close game where they're at home only getting a few points, it's been a solid, solid play against.
Well, as you look at Western Michigan here, going back to February 2nd and then looking ahead to this Saturday, they'll play 6 games in 14 days. They play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week. All three of them, though, are at home. So no travel for them, but still a lot of basketball in a short amount of time for a team that's lost, what, four straight games by double digits and a couple of them by upwards of 20 points.
Yeah, you know, the reign is over for Steve Hawkins. I mean, he's been there 15 years. His contract is up this year or next year. It's time for a change for them. You know, they are what they are. They haven't had 20 wins since 2015, 13 wins in 16, 16 wins, 17 wins in this season. So I'm sure they will have a new coach for next year, excuse me. But it's a team that just shows no sign of life at all. And even with NIU's top player down, it's still going to be one of my plays in my mix when I finalize my card. So, and remember, yes, this Northern Illinois lost three games in a row. And yes, they lost their top player, but they do have another top scorer, Levi Bradley. He's just as good. So it's not as if the one player averaged 20 and no one else averaged 10 or less. Both players were very close. So they have a go-to scorer. And this is the same Northern Illinois team that beat Buffalo two and a half weeks ago. So, you know, put it in perspective that look at what they've done at body of work for the season, not just what they've done the last couple of games.
All right, so what's your top technical play of the week?
You know, it's going to be a totals play, and it's going to be one of those lower totals for tomorrow, and it's Villanova Providence under, you know, I have 130 is the number in my mind. Villanova just 1-9-1 over-under at home. They, we talked about slow pace play in the Missouri Valley. They are number 346 of the 353 teams. No one plays slower. Providence, six straight unders. Providence, 2-9 under in conference play. The last three of these series has gone under by 8 points per game. They played back at January 5th at Providence. The total is 137.5. So it might even come over that 130 because of what that opening total was. And, you know, Providence in the conference, the number one team in defensive efficiency, they're last in offensive efficiency. So I think the situation is going to be a nice, nice low-scoring game. That is Wednesday, Villanova and Providence under the total.
Rolf Michaels, professional handicapper over at wagertalk.com. What's going on over there right now, Rolf?
You know what? Again, just check out the free content. Go to wagertalk.com. Go to the Cal Sports page. The NBA stat sheet, which is free daily. I put a free best bet on that. It is now 15-3 the last 16 games. And the NBA stat sheet, excuse me, the college basketball guide, as you mentioned a few times, it's basically what I do when I'm handicapping. Each of the 32 conferences has a full page. You can find out my power rating number, their records. And, you know, to me, you know, Adam, you know, when we're handicapping conferences, the records are good, but I love looking at the points per game diff and the rebounds per game diff. When you have teams that are of equal records and one team is outscoring the other in conference play by 4 or 5 points, and they're a better rebounding team and they turn over the ball less, it's just common sense that it's always a play that I look at. So, at a glance, we have all conference action the rest of the year. You just look at each page, check out those games tonight, put where you would make the line, check out where the line is, find some value. It's free. I post it every Monday, so you use it today. It's completely updated for all these games this week until we get to the weekends when they start playing the second game of the week.
Rolf Michaels, professional handicapper over at wagertalk.com, at CalSportsLV on Twitter. Appreciate the time as always, Rolf. Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Adam.